So we're seeing that God wants us to make it. That's why he pre-prepares us. So he can brag on you. Listen, it's nice to know every now and then. See, not many people say many nice things about us. And I want you to know that a lot of people say bad things about me, but they don't know me. They don't know what I'm really like. I want to tell you something. I don't even know what I'm really like. Did you know my own heart gets deceived? Paul said that about himself. But you know who knows everything about me? Everything. My Father in heaven. And he would boast on me or on you to show Satan that even mud balls that didn't start off so glorious as him can trust him and be forgiven. Therefore, God is full of grace. See, it doesn't make sense. Jesus and God says, right, I know that doesn't make sense, but see, there's a part of my character and personality, Satan, that none of the angels in heaven knew till you fell. What's that? A part of my character. It's a side of me no one knew anything about. Didn't have to know anything about it. Never had come up. What is that? Grace. Grace? Can't you just see everybody in heaven? All the angels, the cherubim, seraphim, four living creatures before the throne. What do you say? What do you say? Grace, grace. How do you spell that? Do you ever hear that word? No. What does that mean? I don't know. I looked it up in Webster's. Everybody in heaven nudges. What do you mean by grace, God? We didn't know that that was a part of your character. Well, I'll show you. Shunk. Adam B. World B. Eve B. Now watch this. You see that mudball Adam? Watch him. He's going to screw up bad. And Eve too. Good. Send him to hell, God. Yeah. No, I'm going to come and die for their sin. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It's not logical, right? See, grace is when you get something you don't deserve. And the reason you do is because that's just the way I am. It's got nothing to do with, listen to me, mudballs. See, I call us mudballs because he's the potter and we're the clay. See, it isn't how they are. It's how I am, God says. And nobody knew that. No one understood grace. It had never come up. That's what the scriptures mean when it says the angels are studying us in Ephesians in chapter 3 and in other scriptures. And they're learning. See, they're studying us not to learn about us. It doesn't take but a few minutes to know all you want to know about us. No, they're learning about God. As he pours out his love, his mercy, his grace on us. And we don't deserve it. But you see, we did one thing, just one thing right. We believed God would forgive us. Satan didn't. We trusted God's character. Satan didn't. Just one, hey, about all you've made is one really good decision. Hallelujah. And so, number four, both times these water tests were following, the disciples were actually in the process of following to the letter Jesus' instructions, i.e., to go to the other side. And observe, in both cases, Jesus told them what was going to happen before it happened. And you might notice that in Mark 6, verse 45, in tonight's reading. He told them to get on a ship and to go to the other side. See, Jesus told them how it was going to end. You're going to make it to the other side. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Both times he told them the end of the story. You know the end. You're going to make it. We win. How do you know that? I read Revelation 22. Okay? Hallelujah. So the question is, see, do we believe it? Why are we getting uptight? Because we're looking bad at the half. See, I don't care how bad it looks at the half. I don't care how many points behind we are. No, you're not measuring up by your preacher, you know, your denomination, your preacher, or some Christian friend of yours, or your own idea of what you ought to be. Why don't you relax and let God make you what he wants you to be? Okay? See, humanism, listen. That's what's wrong with so much of the teaching today. It's centered on you. How am I doing? What's my ministry? What's my gift? May I be ugly? Did you ever read, Paul taught about the gifts. Did you ever see him teach you 10 steps on how to find out which one was yours? No, that's what foolish preachers do. You say, well, how do I know which one's mine? Your gift speaking of the charismata, is whichever one God decides is the one you need for now to handle this particular problem. And you better be glad of that. Otherwise, what if a problem comes up and that isn't your gift? Oh, you got to search all over Houston. I mean, you're in panic stricken. Quick, is your gift this? It isn't? Oh, no. We got to, you know. They're trying to make Christianity easy so that you can enjoy it, since Jesus did make it easy. But we keep getting caught up in, see, it ought to be tough when it's up to us. See, but that's human. It's toward humanism. It's making it where we've got to come through instead of Jesus coming through. And if you keep trying to come through, beloved, I'm trying to show you, we're going to end up like these apostles most of the time. But remember, they did grow. In the book of Acts, they succeeded a whole lot more in walking in the Spirit. But I want to tell you, none of them made it all the time. Glory! I'm glad, don't you understand? Because if they did, I'd feel so whipped. I'd feel like I couldn't teach you yet till I had arrived. Did you get that? Both times they were following God's instructions completely. Now you hear this, one of the heaviest points tonight. I want you to know that difficult times, terrible things happen to people when they sin and rebel against God and when they do exactly what they're told by God. They just happen for different purposes and different reasons. Therefore, beloved, when you see someone going through something terrible that's a Christian, the truth is you really don't know which is the situation. Therefore, it's probably best to keep your big mouth shut about judging them as to why. And as Corinthians 12 says, let's rejoice with those that are rejoicing and weep with those that are weeping, because the truth is we probably don't know why they're going through it. They go through it, we go through it, good or bad. Number five. This was common to both cases. Similarities. What they saw with their physical eyes overcame, hear this, what Jesus had said to them personally. In other words, they had a rhema, a word from God to their problem to stand on. Now, our senses are not bad. God gave them to us, not the devil. But Satan will use them to defeat us. So let's learn from this. In both cases, they failed because what they saw with their eyes overcame what God had told them. Got it? That is the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem. It's the problem. Number six. And as a result of seeing the problem, and the problem was insurmountable, rather than trusting in what God had told them, fear came instead of faith. Okay? See, that was the root of their... What was the root of... See, it's easy for us to say, oh, they feared. Yeah, but what was the root of the fear? See, just to say, Tom feared, that doesn't help Tom. Tom, you shouldn't have feared. See, but he doesn't know how to avoid it. He doesn't know where the root was. Why fear came? It came because he didn't continue in what God had told him. That word should have sustained him. I heard from God. I want to tell y'all something. 14 years ago, God told me to quit the oil business and to teach His word, and He didn't tell me how I was going to teach, where I was going to teach, how I was going to eat or anything. I just did it. Just did it. And from that time till now, there's been many problems, but I'm going to tell you something. It's stupid, but that's the one thing that just keeps me going. And that very morning, He gave me a vision. I'm not going to tell you the vision. But I don't have to have a vision every week to keep me going. When you really have a vision from God, it'll last a long time. Sometimes I forget it, but not for long. You know what I mean? I'll forget it, and I'll panic, and get a little fear, huh? But it's because I forgot what He told me. And the moment that comes back, listen, then I remember the final score was 4-3, U.S. of A. over Russia. You hear me? See, fear instead of faith. Faith, what? In His word and in His person. Does He care? Yes. And who is this person? I am. Again, it's not enough that you know He cares. Has He got the power to get you through the problem? See, it takes both. He said, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. See, that should have done it. Ego Amy. Number seven. In both cases, there were multitudes of people around them at the beginning, while they were being taught to make it. Look around you right now. not much of a multitude, but you know, compared to just you alone, there's a lot of people here. See, right now, the lesson is good, and you're being taught, and you're saying, yes, I'm going to make it. And maybe you will. You're supposed to. But John, it's easier right now because there's a lot of us here. See, both times he trained them, taught them, with a lot of people around. But when the test came, there weren't so many around. Both cases made it tougher, right? Especially when it's just me. Just you. You hear what I'm saying? Expect that to happen. You get taught with a lot of folks around you a lot of times. But when the test comes to see, did you learn what you learned? There may not be many people around. And then, number 8, both times it was similar, we saw that Jesus had power over all nature. And number 9, and here's the reason they failed. Here's the real reason they failed. Are you ready for this? The real reason. They considered not. Would you look at your paper one more time? The verse we've not looked at. Mark chapter 4, verse 52 is the key. The ultimate key. It says, before this, they worshipped him and said, of a truth, you're the Son of God. See, the Son of God means deity. He's already told them that. He said, I am. And then he says they were sore amazed in verse 51. And then in John it says that the ship landed safely, immediately transported. And then verse 52, why were they amazed beyond measure? Look what God says. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. They each had that dumb basket full of leftovers. They should have made it. When that storm came up this time, they should have said, just a few minutes back, I saw 5 barley loaves and 2 dumb fishes feed all those people, and I had a whole basket full in my own hands. And I saw everybody else, all the other disciples did too. But they didn't consider that. Listen. What does it mean they didn't consider it? Well, Psalm 78 says, Jehovah can prepare a table in the wilderness. See, if they had considered that Jesus was Jehovah, they should have known that he could handle that. But the problem was, they didn't. Now, may I speak to you about that? These were experienced seamen, yet they needed help. Their own skill, their own knowledge, their own ability had been transcended by the problem. And God did that to drive them to him. In fact, the problem in the problem, their minds, like you and me sometimes, were so confused they didn't even recognize him. Why? And that brings us to this point. Why didn't they recognize him? They considered not. Look at verse 52. For they, I'm going to write that on the board. This is the key. This is the key for you and me. They considered not who they were dealing with. Yes, in this specific instance, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. See, that was supposed to pass. See, this shows, this verse proves that that miracle was to give them all they needed to succeed in the test. In other words, can you see it? If they had considered that, what this verse is saying in reverse is, had they considered that, they'd have had no problem. Can you all see that that's what that's teaching us? Okay, now, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Speaks of looking unto Jesus. Do you all see that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Quit trying to work up your own faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of the faith. If you hadn't got much, repent and call on him to increase your faith. Okay, but look at verse 3. Speaking of Jesus, for, hey, Greg, here's why you and I have trouble. Right here, all of us. For consider the problem. No. 1,000 no's. For consider the Baptist church. Consider tongues. Consider water baptism. See, I'm trying to... No. 1,000 no's. Consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, there was opposition or hostility to him. And just as that there is to you and me. And what's going to get us through is in these water tests, they failed to consider him. See, the first test, all they thought of was, see, they flunked it. But at least at the end, he went up a few notches. Whew, what a man! But that wasn't good enough. In other words, the reason for their distress was they did not consider him, and what they already knew about him. Now, some differences, real quickly, only a couple. In the first time, Jesus was physically present on the boat. Second time, it was a tougher test. Should have been. They already had, should have grown. Saw that he could handle waves and sea and wind. Second time, they were separated physically. And that's one thing that hurts you and me. See, we feel like we're alone out on the boat and that he can't see. But I want you to remember that though he wasn't on the boat and he was 3.5 miles away up in a mountain praying, he saw them. See, I need that because I know he's in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father. And sometimes the question is, does he see me? Hun, listen, it's easy for me to believe when I'm in a problem that he sees you. Easy for you to believe he sees me. But the hard part is, when I'm the one in the problem, do I believe my doctrine? See, intellectually, I know he's God and he sees. But I've got a problem, and that's when I have problems wondering. Not really wondering where there's great doubt, but I don't perceive that he sees. Because I'm not considering him, who I'm dealing with. Now, even those were differences, I want you to see the result was the same. He saw and met their needs, i.e., he cares for them and he has the power. Second difference. The second time, they already had a previous experience with water tests. The first time, they didn't. So they were supposed to have grown. The test was more severe the second time, but they had something to go on. He had pre-prepared them with a first water test. Third difference, last difference that I found. First time Jesus was in the boat with them, and he commanded the wind and the sea. He spoke. Now you hear this. Easier, listen, which do you think is tougher? And you can see it immediately. See, Jesus in the boat to walk up to that boat and speak to the wind and the sea and say, stop. See, your view of Jesus would be pretty good. Hey, you're out there at Galveston with me and we're out and a storm comes up. And you've already seen me multiply food. Okay? It's one thing to believe Brother Floyd can pray over food and see it get multiplied. It's another thing to believe Brother Floyd can walk to the front of that boat and say, stop, in the name of Jesus. You hear it? But let me tell you something worse. See, that time I'm on the boat, you can see me. Quite different to perceive that a man that walks to the front of a boat and says, stop, and it stops, that he can walk on water. Do you hear what I'm saying? Each part in this is to increase our awareness, our perception of his power, that it really is unlimited. See, I say that, you know that, but you don't know it when it's happening to you. So as it increases, he is preparing. Do you see how God teaches and prepares us? It isn't by tongues, though they edify. It isn't through prophecy. It's through learning more about him and perceiving him. I want you to notice that in the second test, after the first test, look, I want to tell you what would have happened from Tulsa. After the first test, they would have said, ha-ha, we've got it. In a storm, you walk to the front of the boat and say, peace be still. Now, I want you to see that the real apostles never once thought that was the doctrine. When the test came up the second time, John, surely John, Peter, James, no one on the boat figured that what Jesus intended for them to do after the first teaching was, we now have a formula that every time there's a raging sea, one of us goes to the front of the boat and says, peace be still. I want you to notice when Jesus came along and said something and chided Peter about his faith, he didn't chide the others and say, why didn't you learn the first time and walk up to the front of the boat and say, peace be still? He didn't think that's what the first lesson was supposed to teach, because he would have taught it to them at the second one, if that's what it meant to Jesus. Glory. And so, beloveds, the result of God's allowing these things to happen to them, and to you and me, is A. In the first test, they came to the conclusion, what a man! In the second test, what a God. says the reason they were so amazed beyond measure that Jesus could walk on water is, verse 52, for. See that word for? That's the connecting word. Connects us back up. They considered not. That's your trouble. That's it. That's where we fail the test. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now listen, you think that means that he multiplied, you know, that food was multiplied? No, no, no. The miracle of the loaves wasn't a point to multiplying food, but to the one that multiplied the food. Who is this multiplier of food? Who is this that says in the water test before this, peace be still, and the seas got still? And who is this that's walking on water? See, they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Why? Why? See, in other words, David, when you and I fail our test, the reason we fail is we consider not the person of Jesus Christ. Doctrinally, we know the answer. But we don't transfer our good doctrine to the problem of life when we're in it. And relax and cool it. Say, God, I don't like this storm that's raging, but I can't wait to see what you're going to do about it. Drop the hot potato back in his lap. Well, why? Their heart was hardened. See, if their heart weren't hard, they would have perceived in the middle of that storm, the Holy Spirit would have brought back to them standing with that basket full of food right in front of Jesus. And, wait. This guy, you know, the Lord just supplied our need. He can do it here. We have a different need. See, same problem. I got a need. Before I had a need for food. Now I got a need to get me out of the storm out on the sea. And remember, they were rowing. They had to, the storm was so violent they had to take the sails down. And they were rowing, but the wind was blowing them, even with the sail down, where they were going backward. It says the sea was contrary to them, and they were toiling. That's you and me. We got that old hey, dummy. See, we won't drop the loaf. We won't drop the hot potato in his lap. We've got that oar. Hey, can't let God down. We're rowing. So usually it's us preachers that teach like that tell you that. You can't let God fail. We've got to make this church go. We've got to make this program go. We can't let God look bad. You can't make God look bad. It's only when we think it's up to us to defend the character and the personality and the name of God that God's going to look bad. Look, let God defend himself. Believe me, beloved. He's perfectly capable. Look, people have been trying to destroy the Bible for hundreds of years. I still got one, hadn't you? They burned them by the millions. But I still got one. In fact, I was in a bookstore the other day, saw hundreds of them. Son of a gun. I'm telling you that because some of you think you've got to defend God's Word. No, you don't have to defend it. We get to proclaim it and then let God play God. See, our job is just to play people. I can be a people. Defending God, that takes a God to defend a God. Let's let God defend himself. Let's let God, hey, so here they are. Can't you see it? It's you and me tonight, toiling and rowing against the problem. And I've got them just as bad as any of you. They weren't getting anywhere. I mean, let's learn from the lesson. They weren't getting anywhere. The wind was blowing them farther out to sea. Finally, the Lord gave up on them. See, he saw they had flunked the test. They didn't know what to do. I'm going to teach you about God. So God said, that's it, you stupid students. Go to hell. And sent them to hell, fricasseed, after they drowned. Right? No, praise God. See, we learn what God's like. They flunked the examination flat. Do you think it surprised God that they failed to perceive, to tie the two thoughts together? Now, see, we need this, Richard. While we're learning, we flunk a lot of tests. We don't take what we learned and apply it to the problem. But see, the important thing is God doesn't throw us away. Picks us up with great patience, comes walking on the water, stills the problem, gets in the boat, takes us right to shore immediately. I mean, a miracle. They were transported immediately. Took care of the whole problem. So that the next day, they can't go home and tell their kids and grandkids, boy, you should have been with me on that boat. Man, what a storm. But you see these kids, you see that muscle? Right? Now, let me tell you, where I'm really strong is right in here. See, I got these huge muscles here. And, you know, like this. And because of my incredible courage and my muscles and, you know, and my seamanship. Oh, listen, I knew just how to angle that boat here. And we made it to shore safely, robbing God of His glory. Thieves! All glory and all honor belongs to God, not the Southern Baptist Church, not the Pentecostal Church or your church, non-denominational church, Brother Floyd, speaking in tongues. I was water baptized upside down. Stop. All honor and glory goes not to water, but to Jesus. No, see, after this, these guys have a good testimony. Son, as usual, Dad was in a mess. And the water was over his head. And I was about to perish, but I didn't even have sense enough to call on the Lord. Any of you ever get a problem that happens so fast, so bad, you don't even have time to pray? Oh, yeah. And the Lord just came to me and delivered me totally from the problem so that all glory belongs to Him. And that's why God continually lets you and me run into these kind of water problems. That we can find out what He's really like. He doesn't throw us away when we flunk Him. That He really cares for us. That He has the power to deliver. See, it's not enough. Again, it isn't enough to care. You've got to have power. They failed because they did not consider Him. Who He is. Who this is we're talking to, praying to, and calling on for help. And why did they fail to perceive that? Their hearts will harden. All right, now did you get that? When you and I study the Scriptures, why don't we get great revelation all the time? See, this is, hey, I got to tell you this, not that you feel condemned, but that so that you can see the problem and repent. Oh, that's a good word, repent. Hard hearts blinds us. God gives no revelation. So I wonder what their heart was hard about. Well, I'm not going to teach it tonight, but I'll just tell you. In Mark, back in chapter 6 and chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, they were all arguing, all the apostles, the big boys, over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Can you picture Brother Dabney down at Cathedral in the Pine? What's the pastor's name down at First Baptist here? Jim Wilson. Brother Jim Wilson, Brother Dell Dabney, Floyd Jones, and Billy Graham arguing over which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Now, incidentally, when the disciples were doing that, at one time, Jesus, while they were debating amongst themselves, Jesus just called a small little child up into the middle of them. See, they thought one of them was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, and they wondered which one Jesus was going to appoint. Jesus called a little kid up in the middle and says, see him? At the moment, he's ahead of all 12 of you. Now, he didn't say it in those words, but that is what he was teaching. See, in other words, like you and me, we'll offer God, okay, God, either do it this way or this way. Yeah, isn't that spiritual of us? You know, we come to God with a problem and then tell Him, you got one or two ways to go, God. When God's got, Richard, He's got ideas and thoughts so complicated because He's got so many of our lives interwoven together and other people's lives that we have no idea what He's up to. And He ain't going to solve it like we had in mind anyway because He's too smart for that. So you know why? Ephesians tells us God has no counselors. See, that's your problem and my problem. You know, we try to tell God how to do it. You know, as though He needs counsel. Now, Lord, I know this is a most unusual problem for you, so I'm going to help you out with this one. I mean, you're busy keeping the salmon going upstream. And, you know, and the planets, you got to keep those things going, you know. And I know that's got you so tied up that you hadn't had time to give much thought to this problem, so I'll tell you how to solve this one. See, that's our stupidity. Their hearts were hard, and the result was they didn't consider who they were dealing with. Listen, let you and me repent of that ever happening to us again. Now, so that if that happens, immediately the Holy Spirit can bring to you what you've learned tonight. I'm going to drop this hot potato back in Jesus' lap. I'm going to quit trying to row against the wind. I'm going to cool it and watch what the boss does. He'll let you participate. Oh, you got your hand on that wrench. But you'll realize you did so little, you're not going to boast when it's over. Listen. Back in the Old Testament, when they went to war, while they were following God, when they conquered the land, the scriptures repeat over and over that when they went out, listen, they didn't lose a man. They lose a man. But God made them put their armor on, get their spears and swords, and face the enemy. No, that isn't the way I would have wanted it done. Do you hear what I'm saying? No, God, I got a better idea. Now see, what we're going to do is, I'm going to stay here safe behind the walls of Jerusalem. And you go get the enemy. God never does it that way. You see, we don't get to know what He's like that way. Our faith in Him does not grow that way. Our confidence in Him to deliver doesn't grow that way. And we don't learn things about ourselves that way. You know, I want you to go out and face them. I want you to take out your spear and sword, and I want you to strike a good pose. Look good. Might even let you shout at the walls of Jericho. You know, come on, gang. It's kind of, listen, you're at Jericho, right? You're at Jericho, and your wife and kids and grandkids are back at the tents. It's going to be kind of hard to go home and brag what a great warrior you are. When all you got to do was blow a trumpet and then shout. And the walls all fell over to the inside. And you ran up in there. And what few you had to kill, you didn't lose a man. Battle after battle, they didn't lose a man. So when you come home, there's really only one thing you can do. What a God. He let me participate. I faced the enemy, and I did shout, and I rattled my spear. I pounded it against my shield, made a lot of noise there. Remember Gideon? I held my clay pitcher up with that light in it, and I took a club, and I broke that pitcher. Ooh, and then I shouted. It's going to be hard to go home and try and rob God of His glory, isn't it? See, now there's only going to be one thing to do. You go home, and you tell your wife and kids, y'all, I'm going to tell you, we have really got a God. He made me face the enemy. That was good for me. I thought I had great faith in God, but I'm going to tell you, my knees were knocking. And there was someone real spiritual there saying, fears of the devil, fears of the devil. Listen, it doesn't matter whose it's from. It's there. If you hadn't had fear, you hadn't faced a good enough problem lately. See, fear is okay, just so you don't wallow in it. See, fear is there, and then, but I don't have to be afraid. I'm going to consider Him. I'm going to consider Him. And as you begin to consider Him, man, He walked on water. Still the seas, multiplied food, raised the dead. What's my problem to that one? Now, listen, we've got problems in this room. But this lesson tonight is supposed to set you free. Would you stand? Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for loving us, for patiently bearing with us. Give us the grace to see, Father, that the things You give us faith for to begin, You want us to consider You so that we can continue in what You told us to begin. That Peter could have continued had he considered You walking on the water. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You showed us that when You were standing on the water and Peter started sinking, that You cared even though he failed and rescued him. Thank You for showing us that you had the power not only to walk on the water for yourself, but when you had to pull him up, you didn't go down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Peter got to walk on water twice, back to the boat the second time. And thank you, Lord, that you've shown us tonight what you're really like. Give us the grace to take this, Father, and to grow and to learn vicariously that it will have been good that we were together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.